Thanks a lot, Justin. Hi, I'm Alex, and I'm an alcoholic. It's really an honor to be here and an honor to be asked to speak at this meeting. Thank you, Yanish, for doing that. So, first of all, if you don't have a seat, there's a dark room in the back with seats in it if you want to grab yourself one. Sorry, it's not like a trap or anything. So please feel free to go grab one. You know, I love this meeting, and I'm definitely a little nervous to be speaking for you guys, but I guess I'll just try to keep it simple and get to it. So I have been sober since October 11th of 2012, and that's all been in New York. My home group that whole time has been another Young People's Meeting, Young and Wise. I didn't come to this meeting for about 6 months after first having heard of it because of its name. I figured, like, oh, well, I've had tens of thousands of legal drinks, so I don't belong there, which is just one in a long line of times where my brain has tried to separate me from other people and say that I shouldn't be at such and such meeting and all this stuff. So I'll try to briefly tell the story of my drinking. I had a pretty placid childhood, pretty peaceful. My parents are not alcoholics, and they're like still married and loving and stuff. Which sometimes makes me feel apart from, right? That's like another way that my brain says that I'm different. You know, someone else says, well, my parents are divorced, and I'm like, oh my God, like, where do I belong? So, you know, I was like a good kid in high school and didn't get drunk until I was 17 or 18. But when I did get drunk, I really loved it that first time. I blacked out. I repeatedly drunk dialed the girl that I had a crush on, to the point where the guy throwing the party, this poor kid, I started calling her when I was like browning out, and I continued calling her in the blackout. And what he told me later is that I was so persistent and so drunk that he would just pretend to dial her number and then be like, okay, Alex, it's Molly, like, talk. And then I would just go, like, God, I like you so much. You know, and so that was my auspicious beginning as a problem drinker, and it got a lot less funny from there. So skipping ahead, whatever, in college I drank a lot more. When I was 19, I was arrested for accidentally burglarizing a convenience store in a blackout, and I like found myself in there, and then left not really knowing what was going on with some wine and a copy of the paper, for which the state of New Hampshire put me in jail for 7 days. And, you know, like, when I used to tell that story, it would last like 30 minutes, you know what I mean? Like, I would have all these embellishments. I would try to make it really funny. You know, I thought that story made me a badass. I didn't think at all that I should stop drinking. And I surrounded myself with people who also thought that story was cool. And it worked for a while, you know? I mean, well, it worked. My whole drinking, I was just in an enormous amount of denial about the fact that drinking was my problem. So, you know, went to jail at 20, kept drinking, more consequences, you know, started to like fail classes, almost got kicked out of college again. You know, when I wasn't drinking, it would be drugs, Adderall, whatever. And skipping ahead more, I ended up in New York, where I was really excited to be because I liked not having to drive, and therefore have to drive drunk. And all that meant was that I would like pass out on the subway. It was grim, you know. Like, I would wake up in a subway car in like I don't even know where, like Rockaway, and the subway car would be like me and homeless people and cops. you know, like that happened. And I still didn't think I should stop drinking. I really had no idea. The idea that I had developed was just that I was a terrible person, just like the worst person around. And that is kind of a theme. Like I'm big on the reverse pride. I think it's the 12 and 12 that talks about reverse pride, where there's the sort of easily recognizable pride where you're like, I am the best, I'm better than other people. And then there's the other self-centeredness where you're like, I'm the worst, I'm worse than all of you, and different, and it's separate. And you know, that kind of self-loathing, first of all, is something that, you know, I continue to sometimes struggle with, and it separates me from others. It prevents me from doing service. It isolates me. Now, though, it's something that I can deal with. When I was drinking, it basically came to dominate my life. I don't know. I don't want to say too much more about my drinking, but I told my friend that I would make this gritty, so I will tell you that I did accidentally drink my own piss one night. And I, you know, I thought it was warm old English. And so, you know, you know that I'm really, like, living the high life when my win scenario is, yes, I've successfully ingested warm old English. Like, that was my goal that morning. You know, like, that was like, okay, I'm alive on the planet. Like, let's do it. And, of course, those two substances taste pretty similar, so it actually took me a second. It's a true story. So, you know, and just... Quick side note, like, if you didn't get arrested and you didn't drink your own urine, like, none of that stuff makes me an alcoholic. You know, what makes me an alcoholic is that when I have that first drink, I really can't stop. I experience what the book calls the phenomenon of craving. It's a hard word to say. You know, like, when I have the first one, I just become a vehicle for more and more and more, whether it's drinking or drugs or whatever. You know. And then I also have the mental obsession that the book talks about, where I'm thinking about drinking all the time, was thinking about drinking all the time. That actually has been largely removed, which is a real miracle. You know, so basically, long story short, that was kind of a medium long story, actually. It got worse and worse. I, like, passed out at work. I lost my job. Ended up in rehab in Ohio, where my parents live, and the rehab just, like, sort of funneled me into meetings. It was an IOP, and they were like, you have to go to this many meetings, and I did. For whatever reason, I did. I definitely could have lied about it. I definitely could have gotten out of it, and I was so lucky to finally be desperate enough to be open to this program, because it's completely changed my life. So, yeah, I went to this meeting in Cincinnati. People were not friendly. But I didn't reach out either. You know, like, I wanted people to come to me, and they didn't. So, like, you know, more ego, more pride. But I did actually, as they say, hear the message. You know, like, especially in the promises it talked about. Something about relief from self-pity. And when I heard that phrase, self-pity, I was like, oh, wow. So that's what I'm devoting all this time and energy to. Really, honestly, it felt like a weight off my shoulders that other people might experience that and devote energy to it themselves. You know, I kept going to meetings. I put together like 80 or so days. Yeah, I think like 80 days, stopped going to as many meetings, wasn't really working the steps, decided that moving back to New York was more important than anything else, and was out at a bar with friends and thought that I would just take a sip of one of their drinks. And that night, that's actually what I did. That night, I actually just took a sip. But then that turned into, well, you know, so why not drink more like I drank? And then what followed from that was 2 months of I mean, 2 months of hell, it sounds dramatic, but, you know, I did almost die. I, like, threw up in the middle of the night and, like, didn't wake up for it, you know, and then woke up being like, holy fuck, like, you know, I could have easily just died. You know, and again, this is all stuff that, like, that stuff all happened to me and it horrifies me. And then everything else, I think it's so useful when they say, like, it's a yet, right? Like, I didn't do heroin yet, you know what I mean? Like, and I think if you have this disease, that's the reality. So anyway, that scared me enough that I stopped drinking, for a while was just doing drugs and not drinking. And then, you know, still, and the whole time, the whole summer, I wanted to go to a meeting and I just wasn't doing it. You know, I wanted to, and I just wasn't doing it. And it's like, now I look back at that version of myself and I'm like, what are you thinking? You know, I mean, I was playing with my life. I had done that 1,000 times when I was drinking, but you know, I should have known better. They say that AA kind of ruins your drinking, and that was really true for me. Basically, finally, someone asked me to, a friend who's not in the program, you know, a normie or a muggle, if you will. You know, he was like, listen, my friend is really struggling, and I think maybe you can help him. So I took him to a meeting. Finally, I got to a meeting because my friend asked me to help his friend. That's really what happened. And either at that Young and Wise or the next weeks, I met my sponsor, who is still my sponsor, and I started the steps, and I'm still sober. And it's like, it's almost like it's like a perfect little textbook thing. Like, I couldn't get out of my head myself. I needed to help someone else. And you know, I would do well to remember that today. So I've been sober since then. You know, I really procrastinated on working the steps. I really, 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 really procrastinated on working the steps, and I really do not recommend that to anyone. You know, so I did the first couple ones relatively quickly. Step one, you know, it was pretty evident to me that I was powerless and that my life was unmanageable. You know, I've heard people talk about a sort of like, they're like, well, okay, I'm powerless over alcohol, but I can manage things, like, no big deal. I'm good at doing stuff. And I didn't feel that way at all. I totally, even sober, I was like, I definitely can't manage stuff. So maybe that was a blessing that was easier for me. Step two, I actually have really, like, I totally forgot about that step for a long time. I, like, didn't know what it was. Step two is that we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And it's come to be a really big deal for me because somehow I have become open to the idea of there being a power greater than myself. I don't know how. I really, really, really don't know how. Earlier in life, I was a diehard, like, militant atheist. You know, I was the kid in high school convincing my best friend, like, listen, man, like, how could there be a god? Like, what happened to, like, the Egyptian bird gods? Like, are they just gone? You know, like, think about it, man. You know, and I thought I was a genius for saying that. So, yeah, thinking I was a genius, you know, my ego, like, there's a great line, I think, in the book, the big book, about, like, you know, I had long, Bill says he had long shivered in the cold shadow of the mountain of intellectual vanity or something. That's paraphrased, but I did that shit. I did that shit. you know, I have a ton of that, and it made me think, like, okay, I'm smart, so I know better than other people. I know how the world works, and I know, like, the fundamental nature of the universe and that there's not a God in it. That's what I thought. I know everything. Like, I've been this, like, bag of flesh on this rock in space for 25 years, and I definitely know, like, everything about its billions of years of history, definitely. and I realized that maybe I wasn't right about that. You know, so now my sort of spiritual life fluctuates. I mean, I don't have a particularly firm or defined idea of a higher power, but I do pray, I do meditate. Not with the regularity that I think would help me, but I do those things, and they absolutely help me. You know, praying for me gets me out of my head, and it is just kind of an automatic reminder that I'm not, like, the most important thing around. And in fact, I'm not of any special importance at all. I'm just like a guy, a drunk, one more drunk, trying to stay sober and help people. That is not my MO on most days, but you know, that's what I am. And again, prayer is a reminder that, like, you know, whatever higher power I may have or you may have or whatever, it really doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like the fundamental, you know, quote unquote, answers about any of this stuff, like, may not exist and do not matter. The point is that, like it's just, it gets me out of my head and I get to connect with other people that way. So, you know, so step two is important to me. Step three, I struggle with. I really feel like I did not understand it at all for a long time. Didn't know what it was about. Because the idea of turning my will over, it's like, oh, wait, so am I supposed to be like a robot just like taking commands from whatever my higher power is? You know, like that didn't seem appealing. It didn't seem possible. Now my idea of step three is more like, okay, I'm going to take the action and whatever the result is, that's not in my control. Or maybe my step three is more like, I'm going to try to trust that this situation is going to work out even if I don't know how. You know, and that stuff is really useful. It's actually really useful. And again, this is coming from like the guy that I was before, but this whole idea, when people would say, before in my life, when people would say like everything happens for a reason, that, you know, it would make my skin crawl. I thought that was insane. And I thought that those people were like weak somehow, you know, for not accepting that the universe is cruel and cold. It seemed important to me that the universe be cruel and cold, probably because I fucking hated myself. You know, but like, now this idea that I can entertain sometimes that things work out and that like, maybe I don't know why it's good that this thing happened, or maybe it's okay that I didn't get a promotion or whatever it is, the thing that I wanted, you know, it actually really helps me chill out to just say like, okay, I don't understand everything. It's going to work out somehow. And I'm not in charge, you know? That I think, is my understanding of step three today. Step four, it took me so long. It took me way too long. There was just, like, I just sat on it. Finally did it. Wrote a really long one, and it wasn't even particularly useful how long it was. But it really helped me to finally get that stuff on paper, and you know, the cool thing with four and five is like I had this list of crimes that I had done, that, you know, evidence that I was the worst, and on a lot of them my sponsor was like, not the majority of them, but on at least several of them my sponsor was like, that you didn't even hurt that person, like they probably didn't even know that happened, you know, stuff like that. And it was such a relief to be like, wow, I guess I'm not necessarily like a villain, you know. Instead my sponsor was like, actually a lot of these situations are ambiguous. Like, you had a role, they had a role, that's a gray area, whatever. Not to say that I didn't have times where I really hurt people really badly, because I did. I had a lot of those. But whatever. Then there's six and seven, which I should definitely practice more actively. I definitely found them helpful. And it's good to kind of, like, not let myself off the hook. And you know, I mean, it's also about prayer and stuff, but not letting myself off the hook about, you know, self-pity and stuff that I still get into, and excessive guilt and shame. I mean, that's sort of the stuff that I struggle with. For other people, it may be different. Anger, fear, whatever it is. I mean, you know, it's all human. Like, we're all going to keep having feelings. But, you know, it really is possible to wallow in that stuff less, you know, like a lot less. And helping other people helps with that. I just finished my eighth step. Actually, that's how long I took on the steps. I just finished my eighth step, and it was really good to get it done. And I like literally just started my ninth step like 2 days ago. So I'm really thrilled about that. You know, overall, it's like and the rest of the steps are amazing too. I used to be, I mean, I assume, right? I assume based on the experience of the people that I see around me. I remember when I qualified one time, and I don't even think I'd finished my fourth step yet, and someone raised their hand and shared, and they were like, I'm so excited for you to get to the rest of the steps. And in my head, I was like, oh, God, leave me alone. Like, but of course, they said that out of love, right? Like, they had done the steps, it had changed their life, and they wanted that for me. it's pretty amazing that I'm now participating in a community that wants good things for me, and that I can see that and accept it sometimes. And you know, and that I want good things for others too. Like I do want good things for you guys. And sometimes I even want good things for like the people on the street. But you know, give me some time. So it's like, you know, I see the people around me like staying sober, and clearly you can see on their faces sometimes with people who have some time and who have done the steps. It's literally written on their face that they have a relatively serene existence. It's on their face. It's right there. Like, you know exactly who I'm talking about. They'll share, and their share will almost be annoying in its, like, inspirational, like, positive nature. But that's, like, but I believe them now. That's what it's like to be in their head now. And maybe it'll be, like, an inspirational Instagram post. You know what I mean? Like, really, like that stuff still can really piss me off. But it's, like, here's the thing. Like, continuing to wallow in misery is actually a lot more of my choice than I thought for a long time. And especially if I'm not choosing to pray about it, do service, stuff like that. That's true for me at least. So, you know, it's cool. A story that I was thinking of from late in my drinking, basically this is like towards my bottom. I was pretty much... that, like, there were people who I could have accurately called friends, but I hadn't spoken to any of them in a while. You know, I had really isolated myself, and it was Thanksgiving, and because of this whole episode with, like, a bad acid trip and losing my phone and just, like, a total nightmare that just left me, like, sweating for days, physically and metaphorically and just bad. You know... because of all of this, I didn't do Thanksgiving in New Hampshire with my cousin like I was supposed to, so I'm in Brooklyn alone on Thanksgiving. What am I going to do? I wanted to get drunk. That seemed like a good first step. So I go to a bar that I went to a lot. It's closed for Thanksgiving. Fuck. Go to another bar. It's closed for Thanksgiving. Shit. So what am I going to do? I keep looking, and I see this bar. I'm like, oh, I like this bar. It's open. There's some light in the window. I'm saved. I get to get drunk by myself on Thanksgiving. Yes. You know, like, that was the goal. And I get up to the window, and I don't remember if there was really candlelight or if my memory has, like, added candlelight, but there was this, like, adorable, intimate scene of, like, I guess neighborhood people having a dinner together. They were in this bar, and they were having a Thanksgiving dinner. And I saw that, and I recoiled from it. I literally, like, jumped back from the window in embarrassment that they might have seen me, because that wasn't for me. You know, that was not that kind of togetherness. Like, it was just so evident to me that I didn't belong in that room. I really felt that I deserved to be alone. That's really what I felt, and that's just, God, it's such bullshit. You know, again, it's just like that's such selfishness. But I didn't see that at all. And now, on literally any given Thursday night, I can go in fellowship and be surrounded by joyful, loving, sober, amazing people. You know what I mean? Like, I fail to appreciate that a lot of the time, but it is what is available here every single week. The complete opposite of what I had to deal with before, what I chose to deal with before. It's really amazing that we have this. It's really like, it's a magic thing. You know, I don't always feel this way, but tonight I really feel like I won the lottery by being able to be sober and be here with you guys. You know, my drinking was a long journey into isolation, into pretty total isolation. And by staying sober and hanging out with you guys and doing the steps, that has been a journey into community and having friends and just an amazing experience that I got for free for being a drunk. You know, it's amazing that all of this is here. Thank you. So, you know, yeah. Thank you so much.